This is a test. One, two.
Musa Zumwalt, today, April 20, 1992, 3.
Before I miss something there, which I think, in Harbin, when my parents went to Pekin, when my father took my mother to hospital there, I was left. In other words, I would have been by myself. But my very good friend, she stayed with me. And of course, we had the Japanese tenants. And they were just really marvelous. So my parents didn't worry that much. But we lived in the main street. And so whenever anything happened in town, of course, they have to go parade on our street. So Mila and I, we were sound asleep, and it was a midnight. And all of a sudden, we hear a noise. And it's just like, but we're so accustomed to that particular noise at that particular time, because there was a war between the Chinese and Japanese, what they call the gray, the nationalists or whatever they are. And at midnight, the Japanese will move all their tanks, all the large equipment. So we were just laughing. We were laughing that we don't have to look even at the clock because we know it's a midnight.
That's when the troop moves.
That's when the troop usually with the tanks and everything move. So we were laughing. But it was kind of a little bit strange a bit. Something there, and I said, well, but I just look, the chandelier was going back and forth like that, and all of a sudden the china started all the glasses, you know, different tones. So we both just jump, and we said, well, it's not there. And then we look out the window, and of course it was just like a ghost. It's just nothing there, but the noise still was there. And then we realized it's an earthquake. So I dash as fast as I could to pick up my mother's fur coat, my favorite hat, and I picked up my dog, and I dashed out the door. And Ander-san, this is our Japanese tenant, he was calling for me to come back. And I thought, well, I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to die under that roof. So I decided I would just go on my own. Where to? Of course, I didn't have a slightest idea. But I had my mother's fur coat, my favorite hat, so why should I worry about it? So he finally grabbed me, and he said, listen. And, of course, they're so accustomed to the earthquake, because in their country,
all the time.
So he said, that's why you have to stay home, in the house. And so he just grabbed me and pulled me back in the house. But that time Mila woke up and she said, well, that was the stupidest thing to do. I said, how do you know that was a stupid? I said, to me it was sounds very logical. I said, I didn't want that roof to fall on my head. And so actually we didn't suffer very much, but at the edge of the Harbin, apparently people lost their chickens or whatever they had. But in town itself, actually, it wasn't that bad.
What year was that? It must have been one of the big earthquakes.
It was, I think, '42, '43, something like that. Well, we had that, and then we had oh, gosh, now I can't think. I was reading some things in Russian, so now I cannot think in English.
Speak in Russian, we'll translate.
Okay. What do you call when the water comes out the river?
Flood.
We had a terrible, terrible flood.
Same year?
No, a year before that, okay. I think. It was the year before. But not in our area where we particularly lived. But we just had a little bit of everything. And, of course, the war. And then I remember that so well when they start to whispering, the Japanese soldiers are coming. They already begin to take it more and more. They were coming to Harbin. They're finally coming to a big city. But all those little villages, they already have been taken. by the Japanese, and so they were on the way to Harbin. And then, and of course, I think I was about 6 or 7 years old, seven or eight maybe, and I just couldn't even understand what would happen when the Japanese will come. And I was explained, you know, they take it over, that city, and that will be theirs. I didn't know what to expect, but I remember everybody ran on the street to see them coming. And of course, it was just a big, you know, the soldiers were coming. And I remember Chinese were all very emotional, of course. But I think even I was 6, 7 years old, like 7 or 8 years old, I couldn't understand completely. But again, though, I felt like how they can take that city away. I was born there. That's my home. So that's what bothers me. As a little girl, that's what I was worried about and couldn't understand, how they dare to take it away.
So that was 1929 or 30? If you were 7 or 8.
No, just a moment. I was older. Well, I'll tell you just exactly. When it was in 1933, the Japanese occupied. 33 or 32, something like that.
I can look that
so
up.
Whatever.
So you were older.
Yes, I was older.
That makes sense. Still, you were only 8. You were only 11. Little child.
Well, and then when they were trying to tell they're going to come, and very possible there will be killings because. And that, to me, even my parents told me when they escaped from Soviet Union, there were some killings. But I thought that was somewhere far, far away.
Yeah.
And it's not my town, not my country. So I just couldn't put that together. And then finally, somebody I remember ran and said the Japanese are coming and they already start to. Well, so I went outside to watch that.
You did?
Yes. Well, because
What was it like to be outside watching? Were there lots of people?
Oh, lots of people. Everybody was
just silent.
Very silent.
Sad.
Very, very. And
not
I think
shouting or screaming.
No. It was very, very quiet. Just watching.
And they came by in trucks?
Isn't that funny? That I don't remember. I don't remember any trucks or tanks, and that was I couldn't understand, because I know they moved them every night, and where was all that, I didn't know.
Probably they didn't make a big show of it. That was probably wise.
Yes, I think, as a matter of fact, that's exactly was the purpose.
Yeah.
Yes, and so it wasn't that frightening, because I think if it would have been the tanks, and you could see all the weapons, I think maybe it would have been a little bit frightening. But there, it wasn't. So, as a matter of fact, we caught on the following day, I remember I forgot all about it. I'm pretty sure it's just me. But many, like Chinese or so, there's some changing, because they couldn't do some of the things freely. And then little by little, I think we all kind of got a little bit, had to watch ourselves. And particularly when you see, when they're tipsy, you better stay away. But in the long run, I think, again, though, I can speak only for my family. We were, like, we inherited those tenants. But because of those tenants, we were very lucky to get the things they will bring us from the black market. So in that respect, when people say that, well, when people, I mean, whatever, the soldiers coming, you just never know. It doesn't mean that they're all going to be torturing you or anything like that, because the ones we had, they were just really sharing with us. So but another hand, you see, I went through twice with the occupation with the Japanese, then Shanghai. In Shanghai, it was completely different. It was very unpleasant and frightening there, but not in Harbin. In Harbin, it's sort of kind of, well, that's probably not correct that for me to say so, but if you think the occupation, naturally it's very sad and all that, but they sort of kind of made it that a little bit without any monstrosity, I guess. So, but Shanghai, it was a little bit different, and it, for example, like my aunt and uncle, during the war, I was with them. Of course, by that time, my mother also died, and my father stayed behind in Harbin. He never could come, because by that time, all the transportation was just completely demolished. The trains couldn't go, the boats, it was even dangerous. And no planes.
What year did your mother die?
She died in 1940.
And she was in?
In Shanghai.
Shanghai still?
Yes.
And you'd gone back?
No, I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back.
You were back in Harbin?
I was back in Harbin when, and completely accidentally, I went back to Harbin. Because we had a very good friend, or I should say my aunt had a very good friend, in Shanghai, and they were Germans, and Hitler was writing them letters almost every day. They were very, very wealthy. They owned blocks and blocks, houses, cinemas, and because the Germans there in Germany took everything what they had there, and they knew they had in Shanghai, so they start to asking, you know, they should give it to them what they have in Shanghai. And I remember my uncle was trying to explain to them, you know, they will lose everything. But they gave quite a bit there.
The Germans gave it back to Hitler.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, but what I start to say, how it happened, because they were going to back to Germany because to look for their property. There are some other properties they had, and they want the... Hitler wants it, that particularly. So they decide they will go back there and they want me to go with them. And I was all for it. I thought that's wonderful because at that time we had the freedom of the European boats, I mean ships, you know. So I thought it would be kind of fun. But all of a sudden my father said no. So Madame Richerich said, let's go and I will talk to them directly. And that's how it happened. I went back to Harbin because she decided she will talk and convince my parents to let them, permit them for me to go with them.
And what was their names?
Witcherich.
W.
Witcherich. I wouldn't even remember how.
W-I-C-H-E-R-I-C-K or something.
Something like that.
And they're from Germany.
And they're Germany.
And you were in Shanghai.
In Shanghai, yeah. Yes. And so when we went to Harbin, my father wouldn't even listen. And my mother also, and I was just really thought how wonderful, because we usually travel on the Japanese ships, you see, but here was European. So I want to go very, very much, but my father wouldn't think. So Madame Richerich went back to Shanghai, but I stayed in Harbin. And that's when my mother became also sick. So it was good that I, you know, it's all worked out kind of good.
Do you remember the year she died again?
In 1940.
So you stayed in Harbin during the war.
No. You see, when... Oh, yes. Yeah. So you see, when my father, and I think I did say that, had to come back because the Japanese gave him only for 7 days visa and money for 7 days. And that was it. So it was all expired. So he went back, and we couldn't think of anybody who could go and pick up my mother, because we have to be able to move around. We could travel because we were French citizens. And I think I'm repeating here that there was a young man who was a German, and yes, and so when we saw in the train, and he,
his name and spelling?
There are two, three things. I don't have a slightest idea about the people who were tremendous. I don't think so. I cannot do that. I just remember the episode, and that's all.
But what an important episode.
But it was very important, and that's what I was saying. Isn't that awful? Because also he left very... But anyway, I couldn't write even to Harbin, because at that time the mail wouldn't get to Harbin. So I never really thank him with a note or anything like that.
That makes you feel so bad.
Oh, it's terrible. But you see, probably I didn't feel that bad when I was younger. But as older you... And you realize...
He was a hero.
Yes.
And
you see, he even doesn't know anything about that. That's why I thought it would have been...
He may be alive.
Maybe.
Living in D.C.
Who knows?
On this street.
Nobody knows. So
in 42, she died.
She was in 40.
40. What happened in 42? You just said something in 42. The earthquake, we were thinking. No.
You know, I think she did die in 42. That's right. In 40, because that's when I went with the Madame Vichy to home. And then we stayed. She died, and then we came to Shanghai. Because, and then this gendarme, the Japanese.
Great story.
He, some way, my aunt and I don't know if I mentioned that, we noticed that somebody was following us.
That story.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great story. Now, that's where we stopped.
Okay. So, and when we look if anybody around, we didn't see anybody. Yeah. And the thing was, because I saw, and I remember I was telling Auntie, well, there's a Chinaman, and that's all. And so we got in the house, and we told our landlady about it. And we were sitting at the table having dinner, knock, knock at the door. And all of a sudden, the door opened. And I immediately recognized, but I couldn't say anything because he was already in the room. But that was the Chinaman who I saw. You see what the Japanese used to do? They will dress like Chinese. And then if they're close to you, I always could tell them, take them apart, Japanese or Chinese, you see? So I couldn't tell Auntie then, but she understood because there was a Chinese clothes, and I didn't tell you the reason then, didn't? He said, we said something about, we noticed that somebody was following us, and he said, yes, that's me. What's the reason? What happened when Auntie was flying from Shanghai to Peking? Because Auntie doesn't matter. If this couch starts shaking, she gets seasick. And so she was very, very sick. There was a Japanese general, when he found out, because they didn't have any more seats. And so this general, that was just really incredible. When you stop and think about it, he gave his seat to my aunt to fly to Peking. So the Japanese were very helpful in our case.
In your case,
it was just so. This is like Auntie said, that if it wouldn't been for him, she would never probably come to Peking at that time, because she was trying to get at the same time when I would be there. You see, that was the big reason too. Yes. So Auntie arrived, and she was sick. So she forgot all about the money, and she didn't change them. So we were using Shanghai money, not even thinking about it.
Which is illegal.
Yes. So immediately they start to think maybe we're a spion or, you know, a spies or something like that. So he said that now you have to go and change. And that was, of course, we didn't have any transportation. And he said, that's all right, you will come tomorrow morning and I will wait you here in this corner and I will take you. So I always used to tease Auntie about it and laugh at it. Because you see, if she would have changed then, she would lost some money because in exchange. But he just dollar for dollar. So we didn't change, we didn't lose anything.
Better than at the bank.
That's right. So whatever it was,
but
there.
Now you're in Beijing.
We're in Peking.
In Peking.
Yes.
Why had you gone to Peking?
Rockefeller Hospital. There was my mother.
To see your mom.
Yes. Because you see, we didn't have.
Rockefeller Hospital.
We didn't, because most of those doctors got their education here in the United States. And they went to, what is that, Rockefeller education. That's where they got the education. So it was especially when you don't, in Harbin, we didn't have any at all. So my father said, we're definitely going to Peking then. And then they wouldn't permit me to go, see? So he went with my mother.
So you're following later?
Well, yes. When, you see, they gave just to my father. That's
7 days.
7 days. And then he had to come back, but it's all worked out for the best, really. So then he knew at least if we found, wouldn't be able to find anybody. At least I'll be able to go some way.
So your auntie and you were alone.
Yes, but my aunt came from Shanghai.
But from Shanghai.
I came from Harbin.
How long were you staying there then?
Well, I think we stayed about, I cannot remember.
Do you remember any of the visits to your mom?
Oh, yes, because they were all very, very stressful. Because, you see, when my father left, as a matter of fact, I just, the other day, my son brought that, a box he found in my aunt's chest. And I went through all the pictures, my aunt and uncle, and,
oh, wow.
And then I found my, yes, and then I found my mother's letter to me.
Oh.
It was right there.
What a treasure.
And she was saying in the letter, she said, well, that my father was leaving in a few days, or he maybe already left. And she said that, and the doctors definitely came to conclusion they want to have done surgery. And my father couldn't stay for that. You see, he was already gone, yes.
You found this letter?
Yes. It's and she said that, and that to me was very fascinating because, you know, it's China. You have larger percentage, of course, Chinese people. And particularly like in Peking it would be, but there were certain, again, though it was very international. But my mother in the letter said that it's kind of a little bit frightening because everybody that Chinese, and of course I guess when you don't feel good and the surgery, by yourself, you have to be in a strange place. Because Peking was very different than Harbin, you see. And they were all Chinese, and you're just a little bit frightened for your life as well.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of all that, I think. And so, you see, I didn't know. My father never told me about that. He just didn't want to tell me the possibility of cancer. That's what my mother had.
Yeah.
But auntie was already there, and I remember that one morning I woke up. Actually, I didn't wake up. I heard that my aunt and landlady had a breakfast, and I heard the conversation. And my aunt was saying, yes, the doctors yesterday said it's positively cancer. And I remember I chomped that. I said, it cannot be. I remember I was very, very angry. I was angry with everybody, the whole world. And so what we're going to do? Because in Harbin, we just didn't have anything. So I said that, so Auntie was trying to tell me there was a French doctor in Shanghai, and he just started the chemotherapies, and people go there. And so she was telling that's probably what we should do, going to Shanghai. So that particular morning, immediately, I went to French consul, and of course, they looked, and they're miserable creeps, I'll tell you. To this day, they just made me mad. And they said they couldn't do anything. I have to go back to Harbin, and then from Harbin. And I say, it's not going to help. My mother is just not strong enough because she just went through the surgery. And actually what they did, they opened her and put it right back, everything. And that was it. So she didn't feel. And I knew that it's just, there's some hope with that chemotherapy. So when this Japanese came on the way back, and I told him the story because he wanted to know why we were there. And so, and then when we got all our money exchanged, and I think he wanted also, he said, where are you going now? And I said, well, I'm going to the hospital to see my mother. And so my aunt and I told him we're going to see my mother because she knows that we're taking trip to exchange the money. So she's worrying about that. So I said that we're going right straight there. He said, well, I'll go with you. Well, of course, I realized then, right then, he just checking on us.
Making sure.
Yes, making sure. So we said, fine. So he went with us, and my mother saw him, and we told her a story. And of course, I couldn't tell her that we got all the money because I thought he might really change his mind. Yes. So, yes. So, but that evening, knock, knock at the door again, and he walked in. And so, by that time, I went back to French consul. Well, that's what was frightening, you see, because in Shanghai, we had the terrible, terrible stories. This fellow, I really don't know, but
he was a gentleman.
He was a gentleman, yes. I went to a French consul, and they were just ugly to me. So I remember I came back, and I was just in tears because it doesn't look like there are any hope for my mother. I was very, very upset, and suddenly this fellow comes again. And I said, oh, my gosh. And I remember that's what I said, and the landlady, she said, listen, don't just smile. That's all. Because he probably is the one who will be able to help you. So when he came, and of course I was all in tears, and he asked what was it, so I told him, and he said, Monsieur so-and-so, I know him very well, so we'll go tomorrow together. And I said, no, he's a very ugly man. I said, I don't want to go. He said, no, we'll go together. So we went, and of course I remember I was just shaking because I just hated those people there. Well, I shouldn't say hated. I just disliked them.
Yeah, you hated.
I hated, yes. And so we got there. When we got there, I looked. It's the same man the day before, the 24 hours. All of a sudden, he just completely changed. We didn't have a red carpet, but almost I felt like under my feet there was a red carpet, there was a chair, and treating me as a human being.
Did they bring you tea?
Well, they did something. I cannot remember. I can't remember all that. But they were just very, very nice. And they said, oh, that's no problem. We have a train. And he asked for the train and asked for visa. And the tickets, we had a problem to get it. And so they told him they will do all that, so I wouldn't have to worry about it. Fine. So when I got, and I told my aunt and my mother, tomorrow we're leaving. And the landlady, she said, you see, I told you that he will help. He's an angel. I said, well, so far it's just really been wonderful. But you know, you just don't think. You think, well, you got the visa, you got the tickets, so this is all. But I will never forget that. But he was really incredible. I remember.
Forget what?
Well, it beside all that, it's still there are many other details go beside the ticket and visa. So when we got to the train and they told us this is the train where we're going to go, there was ambulance already with my mother. And they carried her in the stretcher to the train.
Auntie and you were there?
Yes, yes. So they got us in that little compartment and then they locked the door. And there we were. Because, you see, the train was just full of Japanese soldiers.
So they took care of
it. So they took care of it. But we felt, you know, when you hear that, that's exactly.
Prison.
And we didn't feel very comfortable. But they were just very, very nice. They took care of us. And, of course, from Peking to Dairen is just one day to travel, so it wasn't that bad, but still you don't feel comfortable. So we got to Dairen. There was again ambulance, because in Dairen we had to transfer to ship. So they took my mother, the doctors came, the nurses came, and because I remember I asked this fellow, but when we'll come get to Dairen, how it's all going? He said, don't worry. You see, then from Dairen, we have to go to Tsingtao, and from Tsingtao, then we arrive to Shanghai. Well, people were there, the nurses were there, it was just no problem whatsoever.
And he arranged it.
And here,
and
he
you
said.
You don't know his name either.
No.
You have gods protecting you. They come like angels and disappear.
That's exactly.
Maybe I'm one. To finish it all off. Oh,
no, I was saying that it's just like a whoever took care of, but the angels were there.
And they're from all different nations.
That's right. That's you see, I didn't think about it, but you're so accustomed to that, you just really don't think about it. They were all different nationalities.
Just because you're beautiful. I mean, men are crazy that way, you know, but these men didn't ever make any kind of a...
No, I even didn't think about it, you see. So,
what a story.
So we got there. Then Uncle, of course, met us in Shanghai. So we felt a little bit more relaxed because we already were home. But, you know, when you see the ambulance and you see the nurses, it's kind of strange feeling about the whole. And there was my mother, and of course she was...
Fear.
Kind
of an adventure.
Adventure and fear where everybody will be kind. And then you see also the soldiers there. So you just, naturally, it's all...
Not for you, it's just a war zone.
That's right. But still, it's, you know, not very comfortable, particularly with my mother. Particularly with my mother being...
How sick was she at that time?
Well, after mainly... She just suspected it's probably something, because I think that makes a big difference.
But she was not ambulatory. She couldn't walk.
And
was she in great pain?
A bit, yes. But not that. And every time when we get, the nurses will come, then they will tell my aunt what exactly to give it to her. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yes, I guess that's how she... made the trip all right, because they would bring some medication with them. I think that's what it was. You know,
that
I just...
It would have been very rare. Just think about getting that when soldiers...
That's right. And you see...
And she's not even a Chinese or a Japanese.
That's right. And it was many, many... Even to this day, when I think about it, I just... But I know it was true. Otherwise, I would never even believe it.
You wouldn't make it up.
No. And so, when we got to Shanghai, Uncle met us, and we felt much, much better, naturally, because it's something you already knew where you're going, and it's a home.
But your father's still in Harbin.
That's right. My father was in Harbin. Then, later on, I received a letter from my father, And he was saying that, he said, one day, out of nowhere, this Japanese man came, and he said, I know your wife, she was in the hospital in Peking, I know your daughter and her aunt, and I was helping them to get to Shanghai. You see, at that time, we couldn't correspond because there was no system at all. So my father, even some of the things he didn't know. So,
who was this? Did this?
But we got a letter from my father, though, and he was asking who was that man, because he obviously knew my aunt, knew my mother. I mean, yes, and so he was a little bit concerned about. But then he said he was very, very nice, and he said, well, if anything I can do for you, apparently he just came to Harbin.
This is the Japanese?
The same one, yes.
And he's giving your father a report.
Yes.
This is follow through.
Yes. And then, you know, I didn't think about
this,
that either.
Incredible. These angels are thorough.
You know, I just didn't think about, but that's how my father.
You go to an extra effort to do that.
My father said, and then he said he just disappeared. He said, I didn't have a slightest
I'm
idea.
Getting spooked.
Thank you. So he said, I really do not know who he is. And of course, I sat down and wrote a letter, tried to explain. But he didn't, I don't think he ever got my letter. So, then we talked about this episode. And we couldn't let my father know because there was no way of doing it. No. So then I wasn't home. I was visiting some of my relatives. But I remember I came home and I knocked at the door and my aunt opened the door.
Shanghai.
That's in Shanghai, yes. And I looked at her and I knew. By that time, my mother died. And so...
But you were there then?
Yes. Yes, I was there, but it was a few months later.
After you had come back?
Come back from Peking, yes. And my mother died. And then... when I look at her, I knew it was something. She was very, very uncomfortable. But then she opened the door and I walked in and then I looked in the living room and then I realized why she was this Japanese fellow.
He's back.
He was sitting there in our living room.
This is 42 now, you think?
Yes, that must be when my mother was already dead then. And
he's just following through.
So
they must have thought you was royalty or something.
I don't have a slightest idea. At that time, of course, and then uncle came home, and we were all a little bit ill at ease. But again, though, the angel was looking after us. Appear all of a sudden, the blackout. So the sirens and everything went on because the Americans were bombing Shanghai. So the siren went on, and I remember that so well. He was really scared, and his car was waiting for him. So he said goodbye to us and ran to that car because he had to go in the French. We lived in the French concession, and he had to go in the British concession. So that was quite a distance there. And I think he also was leaving at that evening. So he wanted to be very sure that he will get all his transportation.
And
we don't know. We never really had a chance even to find out because it was when I walked in, Auntie and he, they were talking, but what they're talking, I don't know. I really don't know.
Did you talk to your aunt about this years later?
No, because you see, my aunt was very, very ill too. And so after that.
So there's no way to check.
No, not to check. And then, you know, some of the things you just forget, don't think about it. And there were so many things were happening that, you know, you stop even thinking about all the past. You just live with each day what's happening because
This kept reoccurring. Only then you look back.
That's right.
Boing, boing,
that's right.
Boing,
boing. And so, and we were wondering if he's going to come back again after the blackout or what. We just didn't know. But he was really scared because he heard that when it's a blackout in Shanghai, you just better stay off the street. And but that time, I remember if...
He was an officer, though, with a driver.
Well, yes, he was a big shot. He was not... Well, I think they're all in the military.
Yeah, but he was a... He had power to get you that kind of service.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Was he a general? We don't know.
I don't know. I don't have a slightest idea.
And he,
I just don't even... I just don't know.
There's something wonderful there.
Well, it's just wonderful the way it's all worked out that way.
And you never saw him again?
No. And he left. He was gone. And that was it.
Now, can you tell me, if the Americans started bombing, that was in 42, do you think, too? After your mother had died?
Oh, yes.
I wonder if he came by to see how your mother was and found out that she was had died.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Was you see,
long
I
after her death, do you remember?
I don't remember that.
It makes sense the way he was following through, talking to your father, and then finding out where you were, and then going to check on it. Now, did you go home then to Harbin after?
No, I never went there because there was no way.
And your father was still there.
And my father was still
when
there.
Did you reunite with him?
I never did. He died.
During the war.
During the war, because you see.
You lost both your parents
yes,
at the same time.
Yes. And you know, I always felt, again though, not thinking, and that's me, I think. And I realized maybe some of the things I just don't want to think about it, because it's easier. And I think, excuse me.
It's all right.
It's, because it was completely accidentally, as a matter of fact, we found out that my father died. To this day, well, when my aunt was still alive, one day I was already married and came to the United States. And my aunt sent me a telegram saying that my father died. And then she said, I will send all the information followed. But actually what happened, Auntie never even knew how it happened. The newspaper got into her mailbox. But how, we never found out that. Of course, I was already in the United States.
This would be a Japanese newspaper?
No, no, no. It's a Russian paper.
Okay.
It's a Russian paper. And it's about the news in Harbin. And so my father was dead, and that was... That's all in the newspaper. But like I said, that my aunt and uncle, they were wondering how that paper got into their mailbox
in Shanghai.
We never found out that.
So someone has sent that to try to get the news out, or so, it was again an angel delivered.
Well, I think the angel delivered it. And you know,
how did he die?
Well, this is the other thing. Years and years later, and again though, I have to tell you those circumstances. That's what I said. It's just incredible how it's all happened. I used to lecture, well, whatever. We both, Bud and I, lectured from this particular gentleman, and he had the, in New York, what do you call that? He signed me.
An agent. Agents.
Yes. And so we just came back from China. This is our first visit after 40 odd years. We went back by invitation of their government. They want Bud to come. They want to talk to him.
To China.
And I didn't want any part of it, but then I changed my mind, and we went. Then when particularly we came back from China, this gentleman, I can't remember his name, he's the one who said, why wouldn't I start the lecturing and have a China revisited? And that was the subject.